So, welcome back to the Perpetual Podcast. Today we have David Lennart, who is our head of Rumble here at Perpetual Fitness, and has a really interesting story about growing up in Serbia and then the transition to Dublin, how he got into boxing, how that sort of shaped his life in that way, and how he's gone from there. So, welcome, David. How are you keeping?
Thank you, Tom. I'm keeping very well. A little bit tired.
Okay.
But I'm
working hard.
I'm working very hard, always staying on top of everything, but very well, my friend. How are you?
Very good. Thank you. So I suppose we'll get into, first off, what's it like growing up in Serbia? Obviously quite different to many of us here in Dublin. So tell us a little bit about that, sort of the early years and how you find growing up there.
Definitely. So growing up in Serbia, and everything I say is my experience. Not everybody has the same experience, obviously. But for me, it was the best childhood I could have ever asked for. I grew up in a very small town, only 100,000 people in my town. So it's like, we grew up very safe. We grew up in groups, in communities, you know, and it's like, now, Dublin for me is a big city, right? Coming to a big city here, it's like, you see how everybody is kind of solo and most of the people are just trying to go for themselves.
Absolutely.
While at home, everything was about community.
Okay.
And it's like, I like how we're trying to kind of make that in Perpetua as well, like all about the community.
Sure.
Because it brings me a little bit more back home. It was always like, let's say from when I was very little, it was always literally, you go to school, you go out, and all day you're on the streets playing.
Okay.
And there is like 20 of us kids, especially in my street, 20 of us kids all wrestling down on the floor, like exactly what you would imagine what's happening in Serbia, just lads wrestling on the floor and stuff. Definitely different. But I couldn't be happier that I grew up there, because obviously we struggled a lot, and the biggest struggle was always the money.
Okay.
It was never anything else, it was always the money. So struggling with money and then coming to this country full of opportunities, I feel really grateful to come for that, learn that side, and then go into the big world and then...
Sure thing, and sort of throw yourself into those opportunities over here.
It opens up your eyes. Your eyes are already open before you come, you know?
Absolutely.
And then you're here, like, oh my God, I can do all this stuff.
Sure.
So it's, growing up in Serbia, I'm very grateful that I grew up there.
That's absolutely
what I'm trying to say, yeah.
Great stuff. And then, so talk to me a bit about how you got into boxing. I know sort of in your teenage years, you sort of fell into it that way, sort of an interesting story and sort of how you wanted to get into training that way back in Serbia.
Yeah, so I started boxing in this little small gym. It was a closed down gym. It didn't work anymore.
Okay.
So we just went in there. We knew the owner, so he used to let us in, and few of us lads would just watch YouTube videos and fight and...
Yeah.
Bench press, you know, and
real basic stuff. Yeah,
real basic
building
stuff.
It from the ground,
building it from the ground, literally. For maybe a year and a half, I was boxing by myself, you know.
Okay,
with mostly me, but sometimes my friends used to come as well.
Sure thing.
Just learning off YouTube, you know, seeing how other boxers do it, and I got pretty solid basic technique from there. And then I was 15 years old at the time, and I was like, high school, so you're drinking all the time, going out, you know, with the lads and stuff. It's the craziest time of my life, and I guess most of people's lives, 16, 17, 15, is the crazy time.
Yeah,
you know? Your hormones are all
figuring a lot out, and shapes you quite a lot. Yeah,
crazy. Yeah. So one day I was in a nightclub, and that was our nightclub. There wasn't many nightclubs in my town, but that was our nightclub. And whenever we went out there, there was like 20 or 30 of us there who all knew each other. So you look at that corner of the nightclub, you see one of your mates, and then there and there and there. So somebody's
get
always
away from
somewhere.
Them, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But in a good way, you know, because you're always safe. Because in Serbia it's dangerous, you know, like people are a little bit more impulsive.
Okay.
People are going to react
sure.
if you look at them a little bit in the wrong way or something, so much quicker than here, you know. Here's kind of chill,
bit more leveled.
It's
here more, yeah exactly
leveled.
Yeah,
Western world. Okay, it's nice, civilized.
Yeah.
There, you know, it's not very safe, especially at that age in a nightclub. But we were kind of the crew that we were comfortable there.
Sure,
we weren't
thing.
scared, you know.
Yeah.
So there was this boxing coach and kickboxing coach, sorry, and he's still I like to call him my coach up to this day as well, okay. Even though he's not. We all knew about him. He's the famous boxing coach in town. He won all there was to win, you know. He's the guy, you know.
Yeah.
So me with my big head, 15 years old, boxing for a year and a half, I went up to him and I was like, I'm gonna take this guy for a challenge, you know. I'm gonna take him through my hands, you know, or at least try. So paste junk, man, and I don't drink anymore. I used to drink in high school. One of the reasons being because you're not yourself, you're not in control when you drink, and you do stupid stuff like that. So I went up to him and I was like, you and me are going to be sparring, you know, next week.
Okay.
I'm going to come to your gym and we're going to be sparring.
And this is sort of a man in his 30s at the time, is he? Almost yeah. 30, and you're yeah. sort of 15, 16?
15 years okay. old. He's a champion, like yeah. world champion okay. in kickboxing in the best organization. So, and I, like, you can imagine. He was like, thank God he wasn't drunk. Thank God he was, you know,
kept a level head.
Kept a little bit the head yeah. up. And he was like, all right, come to sparring and we can see. Texted him the next week and I was like, when should I come? He's like, you sure you want to do this?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure I want to do this. Even with my clear head. I mean, clear head. As you can call it.
Sure.
So I went in there and like that's when I really fell in love with the sport because it was like, there was like maybe 15 of us lads in the room. Okay. Everybody was sparring with each other. First round I was doing with him, with the coach. So he went on me like, he did beat me up pretty good, but nothing serious, like nothing that, no marks, nothing, you know, he just a little bit of hard sparring.
And was he holding back, I assume, was he?
He was holding back so much, you know, he didn't use 10% of what he did done to me. I was just going back, trying to throw something, but I was still going forward.
Okay.
And even when he hit me, I, you know, I wasn't backing down, I kept my hands up and I was going for it. And then once we finished, he was like... he was like an older brother you always needed, you know. I have a sister, never had a brother. I never had an older role model since I grew up without my father, you know.
Okay.
So he was like that guy who told me, you know, don't do that, you know. It's not all right, you know. It's not respectful. You need to be on the ground, you know. You need to see the world for what it is, not with your big head, you know, with your, I'm the best, I'm the strongest. And it really hit me and I was like, oh, that's right, man. And since then, I've been coming to that gym every day for 3.5 years straight. I've been coming there, working with them, fighting with them the whole time. And yeah, that's kind of the beginnings.
Absolutely. And then is his gym, was that a big sort of upgrade then from where you'd been training before in terms of facilities and stuff? That sort of allowed you then to really fall in love with training that way and
facilities,
boxing that way?
Not so much. It was like, it was still scrappy.
Still,
you know?
Bare bones stuff.
Yeah,
okay.
You know? But the... I don't know, just the
atmosphere
coach,
and stuff,
the
and the culture.
Yeah, yeah. Everybody was so nice, even though I didn't know anyone, you know?
Sure.
So how they accepted me and how, like, yeah. The community and the coach is what really pushed me to really fall in love with it. And to see those people doing it so well and to see how far behind I am. And I thought I was so much in front.
Okay.
And then I was like, oh, there is so much
more. Brought you back down
to
the ground, yeah.
Put me back down to the ground. But also got me, opened up my view for the whole thing, you know.
Sure.
I was like, there is so much more to be done. And I was excited, actually,
that
there is much more
to learn.
Yeah,
give you some hope at a young age, I suppose,
to
get out there and spread your wings in that way.
Exactly.
Absolutely. Definitely. And then, so talk to me about then a couple of years pass and you're training a lot. Boxing wise that way, and then so it was a friend of yours had come over to Dublin and then you had followed him over. How did that all come about?
So basically I was in high school and I was like, I don't know what I'm gonna do after I finish
up.
And I knew I had to make money because like I didn't have nobody to take care of me, you know, here and there, yeah, but like even through high school it was really get the money from anywhere you want, you know, anywhere you can. So I was like, I know I'll have to make money as soon as I'm out of high school.
Sure.
And that's it. And obviously, there was not much opportunity to make money in Serbia.
Okay.
So COVID hit. I was still training hard. I was getting ready for a few competitions and stuff. And then I finished high school. COVID was still in place, you know. Like, you couldn't get out of your house. You couldn't work. You couldn't do anything. So we started making these illegal parties.
Okay.
And making money like that. Like sure. Every week we would rent out this space and we'd make a party, big party, like that nobody knew about except obviously okay. It's coming.
Yeah. And sort of charge people entry that way and make money.
Entry, like, okay. Like maybe 10 euros, you know, a person, which in Serbia is a lot to charge absolutely. For a party. So charge maybe, at the end we were having like 100 people showing okay. up to the party, you know. But then obviously the police obviously broke it down, yeah. raid, you know, you can't make parties anymore.
Mm.
We destroyed the place where we were making parties at. And then it just, and then it was just like my friend saying to me, come, come, come. Because he knew I was in shit, you know?
Sure.
Can I swear on this? basically, he was, come, come, come. He was in Ireland. He moved in the second grade of middle school, right?
Okay.
So I was, and he was my best friend. Like, since we were born, I was born the 2nd of January. He's born the 8th of February.
Okay.
He grew up on the house across the road from me. Sure. So we literally, since we were born, we were together.
Inseparable, absolutely.
Never separated yeah. from then until he came here. And then he was like, come, 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 because I started out my Hungarian passport because I'm half Hungarian, you know?
Okay.
So I got the passport in the middle of COVID with my last money. I got the passport and I got the Grand Cardone course.
Okay, absolutely.
So I bought the sales course. I was like, I need to have some professional development before I go because
sure.
the most I've done was handing out flyers during summer into people's...
Letterboxes.
Letterboxes, right?
Sure.
So I was like, I need to do something because I'm going out into the world. I don't know anything.
Try and have some sort of skill, I suppose, behind something, you was the thinking at the time.
Something. Yeah. I knew English quite well for my age and
okay.
for Serbia, obviously. But I still wasn't confident enough. You know, it's a different country. It's everything is different. So after maybe a year since I finished school, I was like, because the COVID was ending and I couldn't come before that. I wanted to come before that, but I couldn't because of COVID and the okay. regulations and everything. Mm. And I didn't take the vaccine. So I was like, it was just opening the borders so you could come in. I was like, I'm coming.
Jumps at the opportunity. Thinking, okay.
Find me an apartment. I'm coming.
Sure.
He finds me a room in Drimna in Dublin 12.
Okay.
In a 5-bedroom house with 4 people. Two of them were drug addicts.
Like okay.
One of them was alcoholic and like used to do loads of other stuff.
Mm.
Other one just took everything there was to take, you know. So just a real bad environment to live in. He didn't know, obviously, when he was finding me the place. It looked absolutely. Like a solid house.
Fine place.
You know? The, mm. guy, the guys looked, you know, when you meet somebody for the first time, you don't know what they're like.
Sure.
So went there, man. He found me a job. His dad found me a job in construction.
Okay.
So I went into that just... doing everything there was to be done.
Hmm.
But I felt the money, you know. I was like, I'm getting like 14 euro an hour.
Okay.
I was like, that's crazy. Sure,
in comparison to back home. It crazy. Feels like a big
you don't
amount.
Make that in 2 days at home. Okay. You know? So I was like, wow.
Yeah.
I got hungry for more. Pardon me. I got hungry for more. I quit that job after 3 months, you know. I was like,
okay.
I'm not made for this. Like, I was like, middle-aged man. Everybody's miserable. I was like, this environment is not gonna bring me anything.
Sure thing.
Anything good. So I went home. I went to the internet shop. I printed out my CVs. Whole loads of lies on them.
Okay.
Printed out my CVs. Went to city. Hopped on the bus. City center. Everywhere. When I tell you everywhere.
Hundreds of CVs.
In, and I went in and I gave my CV.
Okay.
I want to work.
Sure.
In Trinity Bar on Dame Street, this guy Lucas, he was the manager, Polish guy. I went in, he seemed friendly enough, gave me a job.
Okay.
Started working the next day.
Straight away, yeah.
I didn't even quit the job there. I just never showed up ever again to construction. There was for 3 weeks. Then I got the pay slip and I got less money than I was promised. So okay. I
moved on
those,
to the next.
I moved on to the next.
Absolutely.
I was like, no, I'm not going to stay anywhere for too long. You know, I don't want to be stuck in a job.
Okay.
Italian restaurant in Sandymount. Great decision. Great community of people, you know, rich neighborhood.
Sure thing.
Nice job as a as a barman. Sorry. Okay. I went in the bar. Easy enough job, you know. Stressful, but easy enough. So I went there, worked there for 8 months, and there comes the fun part. And there comes how I went into coaching for the first time. I need a little bit of water.
Big story coming up, I suppose.
Big story going up. So, remember the Seiya scores I was telling you about?
Absolutely. The Grand Cardone one.
The Grand Cardone one. I thought up to this point that it was the biggest waste of money.
Sure.
Like, I've got the knowledge, but I didn't have where to apply it because it was a sales course and I never had a day of sales in my life before that.
Okay.
So I was like, what am I going to do with this? And I was still miserable at the job because of the house I was in. The job wasn't that bad, the job itself, but I was in a such bad environment.
The circumstances sort
and
of.
Then, yeah, circumstances. And then serving people, you know, it's not beneath me, definitely. And I'm staying still, you know, even if I lose this job or if anything ever happens that I can't coach, I happily go back to serving people again.
Absolutely.
You know? It's a nice job, you can make nice money, but it was like the whole life at the point, I wasn't in a good place.
Okay. Just looking for a change, I suppose.
Looking for a change. Took out my note. I always knew I was made for more. That's
okay.
Kind of what kept pushing me, you know?
Sure.
I was like, this is not what I was made for. After all of that, what I've been through in Serbia, like, had a really tough childhood, really so many losses, like in family, friends, you lose and lose and lose.
Okay.
And I was like, this had to be for a reason. Mm. Because I grew up home looking at YouTube videos, at the motivational videos, and that's kind of one of the reasons I am the person today.
Okay.
Because I was just looking at those motivational videos and I was like, yeah, this all makes sense.
Okay.
Like you go through the struggles so you can have something big at the end of the journey, you know? So I opened up my notebook while I was writing down from the course and I was reading through it. And I was like, is there something here that can help me get out of this mess? And there it was, the quote. It said, if you want to make money, you need to go to places where rich people are.
Okay.
So you need to find where money is.
Absolutely.
And I didn't have much money in Ireland. Like I had enough to pay my rent, to go out maybe a few times a month, whatever. So I was like, I can't go to restaurants, I can't go to events, I can't meet people on the streets because I don't know if they're rich, you know.
Sure.
What will I do? I need something that I can incorporate into my routine.
Okay.
So it stuck with me, that thought, for a while, you know. I started journaling already back then. Really good decision I made. Journaling, I recommend to everyone, man. In the evening, in the morning, sort your thoughts out, you know.
Take it on the page, absolutely.
Take it out on the page, exactly.
Sure thing.
So it came up to me a few weeks after. I was scrolling through Instagram feed. And I was like, this gym, new boutique gym opened up in town, blah, blah, blah. Pool, sauna, classes, boxing room, whatever. I was like, I'm going there. Intro offer, $79 a month for first 50 clients. I'm like, I'm going there and I'm going to meet people. I'm going to make money.
Spend all day there.
Spend all day there. So as soon as I finished work, I'd go to cycle there from Sandy Mount up to Harcourt Street. Cycle there and then cycle back to Dreamna after all of that.
Okay, yeah. Long day.
Long. Right? So started going there and then I seen that boxing room. It was only for classes. But I asked, can I box there, you know, by myself? Didn't meet anyone, by the way, for those possible weeks. My plan didn't go as planned. And I was already thinking, fuck, I'm paying €80 for this gym a month. Mm. I could spend it somewhere else. But I was like, I'm going to stay at it. One day I was boxing in the room by myself there in the boxing room. And these two people come into the other studio because there's classes, boxing class and then running classes. And they came in the studio and started looking at me and sitting there and staring at me while I'm boxing. And I was like, they're going to give out or something. You know, they're going to tell me to not use the studio or something. Especially coming from Serbia, you're always negative.
Okay.
You're always waiting
always
for somebody.
Edge,
to
sort of.
Always
yeah.
on edge, man. Always. Still to this day, almost always. So finished my session. I left them to look at me. And the guy follows me behind in the changing room. Blah, blah, blah. How long are you boxing for? Blah, 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 blah. Would you consider coaching?
Okay. There we go.
And for me, that was like
light bulb moment, sort of.
Wow. Yeah. I was like, that's a dream, you know?
Okay.
Like, I never
thought. Did you sort of consider that before at all?
Never at all. I never considered coaching ever in my life before. I knew I wanted to do something with movement and sports. I always knew my whole life. I played soccer. I competed in soccer, in track, in kickboxing, boxing, gymnastics. Like, I knew I want to, something to do with sports in
the realm of sport in some way.
In the realm of sports. And that was when I did my first class, and it was the same like this studio class, you know, when I felt the energy, when I felt, I was like, I want to do this.
Okay.
Probably for the rest of my life.
Okay.
And it's like 99% of the people you meet never find that, what they want to do, what sure, they yeah, truly what they really want to do, you know? So I was like, wow, this all makes sense now, you know? It's like...
Yeah, it's all coming together.
It's all coming yeah. together. And this, the course wasn't bullshit and this and this. Yeah, you know, like okay. it was good.
Yeah.
All made sense at the end. So, you know, I started coaching there. Not long after, I started making content for social media. I did the 75 Hard Challenge.
Sure thing.
Which is like, for people who don't know, which is like a challenge, 75 days straight. You have... two workouts every single day, and those are five rules you have to complete every day.
Stick to every day.
Two 4 to 5 minute workouts. One has to be outside.
Okay.
A gallon of water, 10 pages of a non-fiction
book.
Entrepreneurial book.
Okay.
There was no cheat meals and no alcohol.
Okay.
First time I left alcohol for that long as well, for 2.5 months. And that all, like, I was making content, I had so many classes, I took over everything there is.
Okay.
I was teaching, like...
Just eager to work, I suppose, yeah, absolutely.
Eager to work. I was like, whatever you give me, I'll take.
Absolutely.
And then I was like, I want to move from this restaurant, so I'm going to start working from the house.
Okay.
Give me some hours, or give me hours in the restaurant up there, I want to be closer to this place.
Just here all day.
Yeah, here all day. I loved it there, I didn't mind. I was literally coming in 5:30 class in the morning, 11:30, and then 5:30 in the evening.
Okay.
So I didn't mind, you know, that my schedule was all over the place. I wanted that.
Just happy to be there.
Happy to be there.
Okay.
Scaled it. A year I was there, I had like most of class on the timetable were my classes.
Okay.
All of them were full. I had my PT clients. I built myself, like I built up.
Sure.
Good stable.
A good roster
there.
Of work, sort of. Yeah.
Good roster of good money, you know, as well. So I was like, I'm pretty happy here, but I want more money, you know?
Okay.
As soon as you get something, you want more.
Want a little bit more.
Especially coming from nothing, you know, you're hungry. Mm. You see that you can, and then you want. So I asked for more money, didn't get it. Asked for more money the second time, didn't get it.
Okay.
And then I was kind of already getting a little bit discouraged, but I still had it pretty good, you know?
Sure.
Not to lie. And then I get a message on WhatsApp.
Okay.
This bald guy sitting in a cold plunge. Hey, David, it's Michael.
Who's this strange man?
Who's this strange man texting me at this time of the day?
Yeah.
Hey, David, it's Michael from Perpetua. We're looking to build a boxing concept here in our gym. Would you consider, like, being the main man to build it with
us? And build it out with them.
And, like, I've heard the name Perpetua before.
Sure.
I didn't know where it was. I didn't know it was a boutique gym like same like us, you know. And I was like, yeah, definitely. I'm open for chatting
Let's
through
have
it.
A chat,
you know?
Absolutely.
Let's have a chat. Yeah. Let's see what you have. Met with him, man. First day, we shook hands. He was like, you want to build this concept? He was so excited about it. We were like,
okay.
We want to do this, this, and this. We already have this, this, and this. And I was like, yeah, that's what I want.
Okay.
But after a year in power and after being discouraged from not getting the thing I the thought I deserved, you know,
absolutely.
This was like a big wind
exactly
in the back.
Exactly
what I needed. Because
exactly.
A year there, you know, it's like you max out everything you can max out in a company, you know.
Hmm.
There's not much forward
Nowhere
you can go.
Go
you can only work more to make more, but I didn't want to work more, you know, because I was already comfortable. So I was like, they told me we're going to give this, 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 and this. I was like, let's go.
Sure.
Do you need to give notice to power? Yes, I'm going to give them 2 weeks and that's it. Okay. I was so happy to leave because of, I had some, I didn't have the best relationship with the manager.
Okay.
So I was like, if something better pops up.
A new opportunity.
You're damn right
as
I'm going for it, you know?
Yeah.
So I went in there. We slowly built up the concept. Like, it was me, Mandy, Owen, Dave, and Michael.
Okay.
And then Mary Kate, who was here to build it with us. She's a boxer from Dublin. She lives in Australia now.
Okay.
Anyway, doesn't matter now. So it was a team of good, excited, smart people.
Mm.
And we were building something good. And I was the main man for it, you know?
Absolutely.
So I was like, I always knew I was made to be a leader. You know, I was never a follower. I was never a buyer. I was always a seller. You know, so I always knew this was the right way to go. So I came to Perpetua making less money than I was making in Power.
Okay.
Because I agreed to that because I knew I was going to have less hours, right?
Sure.
So I was like, I'm going to do this because my thinking was I can stay here and make a little bit more money. But the question is, where will I learn more?
Exactly.
And that was I was asking myself the whole time. And it was a no-brainer, you know. Like,
sure. And you're still super young at this stage. I suppose only 20 at the time.
20 years old at the time, you know. So I was like, wow. Mm. Wow, this is all crazy, but let's go. And I have to say, I didn't believe in myself enough at the time. Even when I got the first coaching job and I got the second, I was like, I'm not sure if I can do this, you know, the imposter syndrome, you know. Yeah. 20 years old, like, I'm working there with Owen Day, Michael Mandy, they're all well over 30, you know. So I'm like, I have to be the one to tell them what to do, you know. It's like, doesn't make sense.
Sure.
But I was like, fake it till you make it, you know.
Okay.
Stay there, keep doing your best, and something is gonna it's gonna work out at the end.
Yeah.
Even if it doesn't work out as I wanted to work out, something else is gonna work out. By the time I was already sure, God gave me enough signs that I'm on the right road that I didn't have to worry about that anymore. Yeah, go with it. And I still feel like that. Even if I feel into fall into the biggest hole now, I still know that it's for a reason.
Okay.
Because all of that happened. I know it's all meant to be.
Sure.
So we built the concept after a few months, perfected it right to the smallest
detail. And I suppose, talk to me a little bit then about how you guys went about building that concept out at Rumble and how sort of what went into it and the thought process and how you sort of came to narrowing down onto what it is now.
Definitely. So they already had the concept in their heads before I came, the rough idea of the concept. And then they brought me in and Mandy for some, for obviously fresh minds, fresh ideas. And then we went to London and we did loads of, we did classes. So we kind of had the ideas from everywhere.
Okay.
Some of ours, some of other people's, you know.
Taking inspiration from
Taking inspiration from everyone else. And then me and Mandy being boxers for so long, you know, you kind of know what... what will feel right in the class, what will feel tough, what people want, what will flow well.
Mm.
So every week we used to meet two or three times a week, trialing, just literally breaking it down to the last detail, last smallest detail, week after week after week for 2.5 months we were meeting. And then literally after every class, what was wrong? What could have been better?
Mm.
This, 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 and this. Why is treadmills like that? Why do they recover on this song? Why do they do this?
Sure.
Everything was broken down, and it was like five people giving ideas constantly.
Okay. Sort of building it from the ground up. Build,
and then bringing other coaches from Tread and Shred and CrossFit and stuff. Okay. They gave us more ideas.
Sure.
So it was 20, 30 people.
Very collaborative experience.
And first time ever in my life that I felt like I'm working in a team that's actually going somewhere, you know? Because, like...
And there's sort of a purpose behind it in a way, you know?
Behind, man, such a good feeling. Like, as soon as I started working on this, it's the first time I really stopped procrastinating with anything.
Okay.
Because I actually had something that I'm going to build on my own, and I'm going to build for myself.
And you're excited for it.
And you're excited for it. And then you don't want to do other stuff. Okay. You just want to do that, you know? So we built that. We launched 16th of January. Last year,
okay,
it was just one year anniversary now, actually, a few weeks ago.
And so how have you enjoyed then that last year of coaching?
It was crazy. Started off really busy.
Okay.
Like, until we got it going, like, I was in all day, every day. Mm. And, like, it came up to the point when I was in too much, you know, and I had to take a break.
A little bit of burnout creeping in.
But all good vibes, you know, it was still, I wanted to be there, but my brain didn't allow me to be there. I was like, I come in and I feel the burnout. I was like, no. But man, what a journey. Like, honestly, I don't know. I was, at the time, I was doing like 21 classes a week.
Okay.
All in the same studio, either Tread and Shred or Rumble.
Hmm.
So I was really in there and we were really, first few months, we're still figuring it out.
Absolutely.
Still what works better, still... class timings, class structure, it was still being built.
Still tinkering with it as you went, sort of,
But then as we went on, you know, it kind of came down to similar to what it is now.
Sure.
And then it was just flowing. Mandy was doing a little bit more classes. I employed Finn.
Absolutely, yeah, brought Finn in for the team.
So he helped me a lot with taking off.
Took a bit of weight off the shoulders.
Oh, man. Yeah. Oh, I took a holiday for a week then. Didn't even go nowhere. Just literally sat into my house and thinking through everything, meditating on what can I do next and stuff. Went back into it fresh. And it kind of just kept going from there, you know?
Sure thing.
Small, little by little.
Grown its own legs, I suppose, since then.
Exactly.
Yeah.
People got... Now the whole Dublin basically knows about Rumble.
Absolutely.
When we started, nobody knew about it. So people, word of mouth, social media, everything together. And it came to where it is now. And then we're looking to build in a new concept now as well. True. Because Rumble at the moment is treadmills and bags.
Okay.
So half of the class you're boxing, half of the class you're running.
Sure.
Now we're going to go boxing only.
Okay.
10 rounds on the bags, learning traditional proper boxing skills. So we're building in a new concept. We're bringing a new coach in, and obviously the thought process for this concept is exactly the same like for the last one. It needs months of trialing. We're already trialing for 2.5 months.
Okay.
And it's going to launch in the same time as the Unbroken. Actually, that's good news. That's kind of breaking news.
So
you know?
Start of March?
Yeah, start of March. We're launching the concept in the same time as the Unbroken.
Okay.
So keep your eyes peeled for that, I guess.
Absolutely.
And it's gonna be exciting. Yeah, exciting period coming up.
Sure thing. And then I suppose to finish it out, anything coming up in your life other than sort of working towards that new concept of Rumble? Sort of what's the next goal?
Well, next goal is fighting. Next goal is getting back into competing, because last year I wasn't competing at all because there was just too much work.
Sure.
And like... fighting, unlike any other sport, is a full-time job.
Mm.
And like...
needs real dedication, I suppose.
You need so much dedication, because... now, to compare it to something else, to anything else, like football or basketball or something, you get tired and you can stop at any moment.
Sure.
In the ring, you're there in front of a person.
You're going to get hurt once you get tired.
And you're going to get really hurt.
Mm.
Like, really hurt. You're there to kill him and he's there to kill you. So you need to be so dedicated during training.
Sure.
One of the reasons why you have to be so dedicated is because you need to have the confidence to go in, first of all. Because if you don't train enough coming to a fight and you know you didn't train enough, your nerves are going to eat you up.
Sure.
Your fear is going to eat you up and you're going to perform so bad.
Okay.
And it always shows. If you don't put in the time, you're going to lose.
Okay.
Most of the time. So, getting back into fighting, now that I have kind of a nice schedule here, I have a few coaches who can cover anything that needs to be covered.
Mm.
Get back to training twice a day. So, get back to sparring all the time.
And I suppose that'll then add into the Rumble coaching and stuff that way.
So much.
Going back to the roots.
So much. Going back to the basics.
Bring new excitement that way.
Definitely, man. It's going to get the buzz for people going, because they'll know I'm fighting.
Okay.
And I'm going to know I'm fighting, so I'm going to be into
it. Absolutely.
No distractions. So you're really just boxing.
Okay.
All day, every day, you're thinking about boxing.
Yeah.
You know those funny reels when they say how boxers are in front of their
the
microwave or in the mirror always. Literally, you're waking up and you're always
thinking
about it all, because you know it's coming up and you know somebody else is doing the same thing to beat you.
Okay.
So compete this year, do the nationals in November. I'm going to go into a boxing club now in 2 weeks when my shoulder recovers. Go into a boxing club, keep building here everything in Perpetua, get a few competitions in, hopefully become Irish champion, Irish national
That'd
champion.
Be nice,
and then see from there, man, sky's the limit.
Absolutely.
From there.
Yeah. Well, thanks a million for coming on. It's a great story, you know.
Thank you,
I'm sure
man.
We could sit here for hours and hours and
Oh, man.
Talk about Serbia all day, but thanks a million. It's been really good.
Thanks a lot, Tom.
No worries.